That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. How you doing? Hey, I'm Ann Eller. Do want to tell you there was a story published in the Index Journal that said that the paper incorrectly reported the recital will be the one at Lander will be Tuesday, but it's actually tonight. So that is tonight at 8 p.m. in the Barksdale Recital Hall in the University's Josephine B. Abney Cultural Center. They will have Amy Blackwood, pianist, and cellist Dr. Richard Thomas are offering a program of 20th century masterworks for cello and piano. So if you'd like to hear some great music this evening, how about get over there to Lander University this evening? Not tomorrow, tonight. All right, just wanted to make that announcement so you knew about it. And today it is my great pleasure to have Ann Parks in the building. We were concerned whether she was going to be able to be here, but she's out and about now. She's been a little under the weather, but she's doing good. She is with District 12 for the House of Representatives down there in Columbia, South Carolina. How you doing today, Ann Parks?
Doing good.
Doing good. It's good to see you.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, there you go. They can't... Once you get in that hospital sometimes, it's hard to get out, isn't it?
It is.
And how was the treatment over there at Self Regional?
I tell you, we have a fine facility in Self Regional Hospital. I've always heard a lot of negative talk about it, but I feel like that I got excellent care while I was there. Even since I've been home, the nurses have called to see how I'm doing, if I had any questions about anything, and they do give you around-the-clock care while you're there.
Well, that's good. Now, just so that people know you're on the mend here, what were you actually in the hospital for?
I had cellulitis in my right leg.
In fact, you've got your right leg propped up right now, don't you?
I do.
That's good. That's good. But she's doing fine. She motored in here under her own 2 feet, and that's a good thing. But, you're up for re-election.
Yes.
And how many times have you been down there in the House?
I've served 16 years.
16 years. You know, I bet if you look back over the 16 years, there certainly have been a lot of, I'm going to use the word, indiscretions that have happened. I mean, this latest one with Bobby Harrell, that's very disturbing and very embarrassing, I think, for the whole state, but particularly for all the people that are in the House and the Senate and everything. That's not a good thing.
No, it doesn't. It's something that doesn't make you feel good. I didn't feel good about it, but there's such a fine line as to what you can do and what you cannot do with campaign funds, and then there are some PACs that some of them have, which I don't have a PAC. I just have my regular campaign account. But it doesn't make you feel good when something like that goes on.
No, it doesn't. And you know, you and I were talking that over the years there have been so many fine lines. Like you were talking about the oranges.
Yeah, there was a representative one year that the ethics committee, they didn't find him, but they told him he had to replace the money. He had given some oranges, some fruit to a senior center. And they felt like that was vote buying, so they made him put the money back in his account and said that he couldn't buy it with campaign funds.
So what do you do when you have a question, Ann?
I call the ethics committee because I want an opinion as to whether it's right or whether it's wrong before I do it, if I have a question about it. Because like I said, the line is so fine sometimes as to whether you should or you shouldn't do it. So I usually inquire if I have question about it. I usually call and ask before I do it.
Now, what do you think about, just for the record, there's been a lot of talk about ethics reform, how to go about doing this. It used to be internal, right? Didn't the House do their own monitoring of other fellow representatives?
They still are.
Still are. What do you think? Do you think it should be that way, or should it be outside of that? Should there be another committee that is outside of the House?
Well, I think that the committee that we have at the House of Representatives is trustworthy enough and honest enough to poll ourselves. And I do know that there is some more reform coming about. There was some done last year, and there will be some done in the upcoming year. And this is a committee that meets year-round. They just don't meet when we're in session, because we have to make these reports quarterly. So that is a committee that meets year-round, and I do know that they're coming up with some more things on ethics, and the biggest thing seems to be transparency.
Yeah, it does. It does seem to be that way. Now, how do you feel about the person that is the House going to be the Speaker of the House, and looks like he will be re-elected to that position since Bobby Harrell has stepped down?
I've always had a good relationship with Jay Lucas. In fact, we came in together.
Did you?
In the freshman class, so I've known him since he's been there, and he's always seemed to be a stand-up person, to stand up what's right and to do the right thing regardless as to party lines.
Well, I think that's a good thing, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
It is.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you know, I know in your District 12 now covers what part of Greenwood and part of McCormick, does it?
It covers all of McCormick County.
Okay, all of McCormick.
Southern part of Greenwood going up through town, down through Promised Land, all the way to the McCormick County line.
What are some of the things that are really needed? I think, well, I'm going to say particularly McCormick side. Aren't jobs really industry a big need down there?
Yeah, infrastructure. Because if you don't have the correct infrastructure, there's no way that you're going to be able to attract any type of industry to come into town. But McCormick has progressed a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember once the school system there was a particular obstacle.
That's a good way to put it, Ann.
It was an obstacle in people who would come to town looking for industry or looking to move into the town. But that has been corrected some years ago, and they have a very fine school system down there now to give the children a good education. And I like the way that they did it because they have the elementary, the middle, and the high school all at one complex.
You think that works? A lot of people think that doesn't.
I think it does. It works for McCormick.
Okay.
And I think it may not work for everybody.
Sure.
But it works for McCormick.
Basically, yeah. Because of the size, you think?
I think the size has one thing to do with it. And there are some things that they are able to share, such as the gym, cafeteria, which makes a difference in a town the size of McCormick.
Sure. So from a cost standpoint, it becomes very cost effective.
It has.
Now, what about industry coming there? There isn't any industrial park or anything like that, is there, Ann?
There isn't. There isn't, and I don't think you're going to get any large industry to come to McCormick, but there have been some talk of some small industry coming to McCormick, and they are always looking at economic development in that area. One of the biggest things in McCormick is the Savannah Lakes area.
Yes.
We have a lot of retirement people there, but I think McCormick does well for its size, and they progress because it's a community that looks out for one another.
Well, I think one of the things that have come into there, they've been healthcare. Self Regional has a satellite office down there, and they have increased some of those type of things, particularly to help service the people in Savannah Lakes.
They have. Self Regional is there. They've had I think First Citizens a few years ago is visible in McCormick, and that it's not with McCormick. It's not something that it comes as a big bang, but a little bit trickles in all the time.
A little bit trickles in all the time. Okay. Now, what about the south side of Greenwood? What do you think over there, Em?
Well, I think that we've had some developments in the south side of Greenwood. You know, everything is, as far as businesses and stores and development usually has gone north toward Greenville. Mm-hmm. But in the past year or so, there have been a couple of stores that have been built on the south side of Greenwood. And I don't know whether you would consider the bypass where they're building the new Walmart.
That's going to make it a lot more convenient for people coming from McCormick, that is for sure.
Yeah, it will be, because they can come straight up the bypass to get to Walmart instead of going, and it's not a straight shot for them now, right, to get to Walmart coming from McCormick. But I think that will help people who will come in from the south side of town.
Yeah, so those are some of the issues that we're going to be talking about here today. We're also going to be talking about some of the other things. Ann Parks is up for re-election. Hey, if you've got a question for her, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're back here with Ann Parks. She is up for re-election in District 12, and we're going to talk about some of the interesting issues that are out there in our world here. You know, one of the issues, Ann, you wanted to talk about was mental health and what we're doing about mental health issues. You know, back in the day, you know, whether it was Georgia with Milledgeville or down there at Bull Street or any of a number of places that are there, those are all gone now. And what do we actually do for people that need help?
Well, there are, I think there are two or three facilities in the state of South Carolina that can house patients for a limited time.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Harris, I think, is one.
Yeah, and we do have the Beckman Center here in Greenwood, but the only thing that they can do for patients is outpatient. We do have, I think, limited services at SELF, regional.
Very limited services.
Very, very limited services at SELF. And the thing that bothers me the most about what the state does not supply for our mental health patients is that the bulk of it falls on our sheriff department, our police department,
our hospitals,
mm-hmm, taking them away from other things that they really need to be doing, particularly our law enforcement. Takes a lot of them out of service if they have a patient that needs the attention. And then a lot of the time, the only recourse that they have is to lock them up.
And that's not the answer.
And that's not the answer, because that doesn't get them the help that they need. And most of the time, if they lock them up, if they haven't really committed a crime, then they end up back on the street. Mm-hmm. And if a lot of them have gotten the help that they needed to get, they wouldn't end up back in the system. And I think that this state needs to do better. I do know that when we did the budget this year, the line item was increased substantially from what it had been, but it's still not enough to do what is needed.
Well, what type of plan would you see, Ann? I mean, should we have facilities where we can house people that need help or need to be taken care of?
Yes, we do. I think that's the biggest thing, is we need facilities, because when we don't have Bull Street anymore, and that was, I think, one of the main facilities that we had at one time, but it hasn't been in operation for years and years.
But didn't they find that it was a violation of a person's civil rights to have them confined when they hadn't committed a crime or anything like that?
I'm not sure.
I think it's kind of like the gal from Maine who was over in West Africa. She came back, and Governor Christie confined her to a tent during this 21-day possible period, and she thought that that was a violation of her civil rights. And now I understand she's going back to Maine, and what they're saying is Maine can deal with the problem, but they haven't addressed the problem. They've just transferred it to Maine.
Well, the reason I say that I'm not sure, because if you have somebody that's harm to their, in danger to themselves and maybe others, I'm not an attorney, and I can't differ between the two, and that's why I say that I'm not sure whether it goes against your civil liberties or not, that if you had facility that could take care of people who maybe are in danger to themselves and to others, we'd have to get an attorney to see.
To see, yeah. Well, you know, I think that's one issue. I think another issue is just the fact that people saying, let's commit my brother, my sister, my whatever, because I can't deal with it, and they have issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that maybe that was some of it. But it's a hard thing, and yet when you look at how far we've come in being able to medicate, treat, there are so many things that can be done, but we're not doing those things, and we have more and more people. Just look at the incidences with some of the gun issues where people that shouldn't have them have gotten a hold of them. And if we had a place where we could work with people, where they could go to for a period of time and get themselves, I'll use the word straightened out, I don't know if that's an appropriate term either, but get some help, it certainly would make a difference.
It would. It would. And I just think we need to have more available help than we have had in the past with better facilities.
You know, one of the things that bothers me, I have a friend that is a psychiatrist, and psychiatrists really are not given the, I'll use the word, the due that they should get. It's, it seems today the only answer is medicate and move them out and move them on. Well, we're not really resolving issues for these people. We're just medicating them and trying to get them to stay on their meds.
Well, I think that all goes back to funding.
Of course it does, yeah. I mean, this doctor that I know, I mean, he does a lot with Medicare and Medicaid and this type of thing, and the funding just isn't there. All they want to do is give him a prescription and get him out the door. And that's a shame.
It is. It is.
I think it would be great if we could have something put to work, not only in South Carolina, of course, our concern is South Carolina here, but across our nation. This is not only a state issue, it's a federal issue, I think, too.
It is.
And if the funding would come there, then that would make a difference. So is that something you're going to work on this year, Anne?
Yes, I have an interest in it.
You have an interest in it. I think that sounds great. What else are you, well, actually, I tell you what, I'm going to let you think about it, because coming up in less than 45 seconds, we are going to hear South Carolina radio news, but we're going to be talking, we might talk about school vouchers, we might talk about veterans, who knows what trouble we'll get into right here on WCRS, but I have Ann Parks with me this afternoon. If you have a question or a comment, please don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back after the news.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, having a very interesting conversation with Miss Ann Parks here. Now, Ann, when you're not down there in Columbia, or even when you're down there in Columbia, you have a business right here in Greenwood.
Yes, I do.
What is that business?
Parks Funeral Home. And we've been in Greenwood since 1935. My grandfather started it.
1935?
Yes, ma'am.
That's an oldie.
Yes, ma'am. There.
We just celebrated WCRS went on the air September 1st, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, that's you were taking care of people when they died before we even went on the radio.
Well, I think they were there before I was thought about, but we're still located in the same place.
Well, that is terrific. How is business at Parks Funeral Home?
It's good.
It's good?
It's good.
Yeah, that's a service that most people need, isn't it, at some time in their life?
At some time in their life, it's a service that everyone needs. It's a service at a particular time in your life when you need somebody who is particularly aware of your feelings, what you need to do.
Sure.
Just being there to get accomplished what you need to get accomplished at that time of need.
Now, funerals today versus 20 years ago, have there been changes?
Oh, a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Cost is the largest.
It's gone
change.
Up.
Gone up.
Yeah.
Gone up. You have some companies that go up annually.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that the funeral industry has any control over, but the people who provide the products to the funeral industry go up annually.
Sure. You know, I think I used to like when they had the big headstones and all the fancy marble or granite or whatever.
Yes.
We don't do that much anymore, but I used to think those were really cool. Then you could go into an old cemetery and read some of the things that were written on them.
Well, they are still available, but you have a lot of policies by different cemeteries. If you've got a church cemetery or you've got a perpetual care cemetery, they have their own policies, so you have to kind of go by their policies as to if you want to do a marker on a grave, as to the areas, some
size and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they are still available.
They're still available out there. Well, I don't think I'll probably have a big one, Ann, when I go. But recently on the I Love Ann show, we did a segment on interesting funerals and everything. The latest thing, I don't know if you want to do this or not, Ann, at somebody's funeral, or maybe they'll bring it to you, was to be shot off in firecrackers in a firecracker display.
Haven't seen that one.
Haven't seen fireworks display, excuse me, yes.
Haven't seen that one.
Yeah, interesting, huh? You never know what they're going to come up with in today's world.
Well, everybody has their own ideals. Some people just like to go with the traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody has their own ideas about what they might like to have at a funeral service. And the biggest thing is with the family is that the question that comes the most is that we hope we did what they would have wanted.
Sure. Now, do you have a lot of people that are doing pre-need and making their plans known and having that set up?
That increases over the years, and yeah, you have a lot of people that do pre-need now, and it takes away that question.
Sure.
Would we have done what they have wanted? But if they did the pre-planning themselves,
sure,
there's no question as to what's going on that they wanted, because they did it themselves.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to bring that up because I think sometimes people don't know what you do when you're not down there in Columbia. But we were talking about mental health, and we had, Jeff said the phones were lit up with questions or comments, I should say. But he said one of the ones that he thought we should get on the air. He says, it gets no press, but the saddest day in South Carolina mental health was when Bull Street closed. Those people had nowhere to go except to the streets. And thank you for acknowledging this. And that was Jan Michaels that called and said that. So I certainly hope it is something when you get back down there to Columbia that you'll look at. Now, you were telling me that, what was it, a couple of years ago or something, you got some money in the budget for McCormick,
so that they could get a new building for their mental health. But I managed to get it in the budget, a line item specifically for McCormick County, but it never materialized. And sometimes that happens because people will say, well, where did the money go? And I think what happens is that sometimes when we do the actual budget, we do it on a predicted figure. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean necessarily that that figure is going to come in. Mm-hmm. So if during the course of the year when the budget is in place, if it doesn't come in, means that you have to go back and cut. And I think the Department of Mental Health that particular year was feeling some cuts and trying to do some different things and trying to facilitate everybody, that it never materialized and McCormick never got it.
Yeah. Now, you were telling me that they had the files in the bathroom. That,
yes.
That's how small and that's how cramped they were.
They were, yes.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
It is. But in your small towns, well, I thought it was remarkable that they had a place to begin with.
Okay.
But to try to help them improve the conditions of what they were dealing with was my goal, to help them get a better facility to at least try to accommodate the people that they were serving in McCormick County.
So is this something that you want to work on?
Yes.
Back down there in Columbia?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think that would be a very good issue. Now, you know, we've got these roads in terrible, terrible shape all over South Carolina, but there's some bad ones right here in our area. And one of the questions, of course, is something like the gas tax. And since the price of gas is down so far, would it be a good time to instigate the gas tax, Ann?
Now, that's a hard question to answer. But seeing as how the gas is down low as it is, I'm not going to say yes and I'm not going to say no. I just think that there's a lot of things that you have to look at as far as transportation, a lot of things that come into this state pertaining to the gas. But I think that is one way that surely really, really needs to be looked at as a way of getting some monies to improve our roads, because there is no doubt about it that our roads do need a lot of work.
They do. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to be that, even though money was put aside over a year ago, I think.
Yes.
And they haven't really started using that money that much, have they?
No, they haven't. But the need is so significant.
It's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. According to the Department of Transportation, it's going to take a lot more. And I don't think if we did put an increase on the gas tax, I'm not sure that would be sufficient enough to do what we need to do with our roads, because we've got such a significant amount that needs to be done.
Well, you know, one of the things that you can say, it would be a use tax. It would be those that were using it, using the roads, would be paying the tax, and you would pick up dollars from those traveling through the state of South Carolina.
If they stop and bought gas.
Okay. We need them coming in with empty tanks and filling up on the border. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't need for them to have enough gas to ride through South Carolina and not stop.
Yeah. Well, you know, South Carolina does have one of the lowest gas taxes. I think, what is it, back from the 70s or late 70s, early 80s?
We do.
Yeah. Because even now they're saying the price of gas is, what, $3.08 was the national average, and what, you can buy gas here in South Carolina, $2.64 a gallon. So it is much less. But I think that's something that, you know, it'll be hard to get more industry into the state as a whole if we don't have good infrastructure.
That's true.
Whether it's the port, whether it's the interstates, however we do this. One thought that I've been told is that we should make the interstates toll roads. What do you feel about that?
Some of them are toll roads. I think in Myrtle Beach, no, Hilton Head, they've got a toll road there. They've got one in Greenville, I think.
They do in Greenville, I know. I partake of it quite often.
And I've gone on it once or twice, and I've always noticed there's not a lot of traffic on the toll road because people don't want to pay the tolls.
Right.
But here again, that is a way to help provide some funding.
Sure.
For the roads. I don't know how successful the toll roads that we have in this state have been or how much income they provided.
Well, I know they put the toll up in Greenville several times, that it has increased. since the beginning of it. Yep.
The toll has increased, but the traffic has not.
I don't think the traffic has. I think you're right there, Anne. Hey, I'm here with Anne Parks. Got a question or a comment for her? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll hear a quick word, and we'll be right back.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I'm talking to Ann Parks. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about Medicaid expansion. What do you think should be done on that? We did not here in South Carolina take that because evidently we're concerned about futuristically how much the cost will be. What do you think about Medicaid expansion, Anne?
Well, I'll be very honest with you. I was very disappointed that we did not take the Medicaid expansion. And I guess what bothered me the most about that is that some other state got our taxpayers' monies that did not come to South Carolina. I think it would have provided some expansion to those who are on Medicaid, not necessarily just people who need it, who are not able to get it now. And one experience that I had during it was I had a constituent that called me and asked me why her husband was put up under some other department. But I don't think that the Medicaid in this state provides very much for men.
Okay.
So it kind of leaves our men out in the cold, which could have been one place that the Medicaid expansion could have done. But like I said, the biggest thing that bothers me is that a few people decided that we didn't need it and we shouldn't have it. But it still was the taxpayers of this state. It was their money that went somewhere else.
Well, what about the idea that, what was it, 2 years down the road that those dollars would disappear? And if I remember the argument correctly, then we'd be stuck with the state of South Carolina for paying the whole Medicaid.
Well, we're still stuck.
We're still stuck?
We're still stuck.
Okay.
We didn't accept the Medicaid expansion. So whatever is done in this state now is done by this state. Not any expansion from anywhere else, but so we're still stuck.
Well, I mean, was it cost saving? I mean, could the state have had to pay an immense amount more of dollars when those Medicaid expansion dollars were no longer available?
It's a possibility, yes. But I just feel like that we could have facilitated more of our citizens who really need Medicaid than we are doing now. And as far as being stuck, the way I see it is we're still stuck. And we still need to find a way to provide more funding for our Medicaid program.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't know where the dollars are going to come from, do you?
No.
No. And that is another issue, just like with our veterans. The veterans issue nationally, and of course statewide too, has been a real fiasco.
It has.
With them getting the care that they should be getting and the wait times that they've had to wait. You know, it's a travesty that we have an excellent cancer center right here with Self Regional, but they have to go to Columbia or Augusta to get cancer treatment.
That's true. And you might could think of a ways that maybe you could find that people may be able to be facilitated at home, but then with what the veterans office would pay, you've got to find the necessary doctors and nurses and so forth that would participate and accept what the VA office would pay to fund that. But I think it would help veterans better, because I think one of the biggest things with our veterans and getting to these veterans hospitals and clinics is transportation.
Yes.
It's always a problem with transportation and trying to get them to where they need to go.
You're absolutely right. That, I mean, and you know, I know we have services, van services that go to different ones, and they're always looking for people to help with that. So, futuristically, what would you see the answer, not only in the Medicaid, but to the veterans? What would you see as the answer? What should our state be doing?
Well, somehow we're going to have to try to find more funding.
That sounds like taxes to me, Ann.
Well, I didn't say raise taxes. I said find it. Somewhere. Sometimes it's like this past year when we did the budget, they actually came up with an additional amount of funding for our mental health program in this state. And I don't think it was done by raising any taxes. And then sometimes funds, as I said, we do the budget on predicted figure.
Right.
And sometimes maybe when we start the budget, we may have one predicted figure. When we finish, we may have another predicted figure. And then sometimes when it gets to the Senate, we have another. And sometimes funds come along around by that route. But I just think we're just going to have to get a little innovative and find funds or find ways to try to provide these necessary services for our citizens in this state.
What do you think about the ability to, this is conversation every time, and then an election comes up and it's a topic that's dropped, about redoing the tax code top to bottom?
I don't have any objection to that, and I think it needs to be done.
As a business person, I would think you would think it needs to be done, yes.
It needs to be done. There have been some small things that may come up during the legislative year that will be done. But as far as a overhaul from top to bottom, I think that would take probably a couple of years or so to get it done.
There's always an election coming up, so we can always pass the buck on this thing. That's the thing that irritates me, Ann. We need to go ahead. I've heard South Carolina's tax code referred to as a hose that's been repaired so many times.
That's true.
That, you know, it's just getting worse and worse. There's fees that could be adjusted, fees on whether it's a luxury liner boat that you have or cars or some of these things.
I've always said that, and a lot of people disagree with me, that our sales tax, if you buy a plane, the sales tax is $300. If you buy a yacht, it's $300.
Right. Yeah,
I buy a $200 car, it's $300.
That car now costs you $500.
Yes. So that is one thing I think that really needs to be looked at. If you buy a Mercedes, tax is $300.
Right.
And that's one thing that I think that needs to be adjusted with our taxes.
So when's that going to get done, Ann?
Well, I guess when I get enough of my colleagues to go along with it.
You know, it's got to be tough. And, you know, one of the last things that, you know, comes January right through June, basically, or the first part of June, you will be spending most 4 days a week.
Three days
a week down there in Columbia. It seems like in today's world that shouldn't have to be, because it seems to me like it's very hard to get quality people to run for office because the pay is low and you're trying to do a job and do something good for our state.
I think it's going to get to the point that you're either going to end up with people who have money and can afford to be away from home to find people
to do the job.
Because it takes, and then when we're not in Columbia, there's a significant amount of things that go on.
That you still have to respond to and everything.
In the district that you have to do also.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I just think that is something that has to be adjusted. You know, I understand originally this was done like for when our state was basically an agricultural state. Mm-hmm. So the winter months were great because they didn't have that much to do because we had basically a farming society.
Yeah.
Well, that's changed.
A lot.
You're in the funeral business. You're not in the farming business.
No.
That's true. So I just wanted to bring that one up and get your opinion on that. Has there been any talk of changing that amongst our legislators down there?
A time or two, there has been some talk of shortening the session.
Sure.
But it has never...
never come about.
Never come about. But there has been talk of shortening the session and not having it for 6 months.
Sure. Well, Aiton Parks, I do want to give you 2 minutes to tell the folks why they should vote for you, why they should send you back, and then we'll conclude this. I appreciate you coming out here today.
Thank you. And I will start by thanking all of you for allowing me to be your representative for the past 16 years. And over the years that I have been your representative, I find that having a relationship locally when something comes up pertaining to Greenwood or McCormick counties, that I've built relationships that I can call and see what would be best for the area, because I do believe in home rule. I don't feel like I can sit in Columbia and exactly tell you what's best for whatever may be going on in Greenwood and McCormick County. So I have developed relationships where I can pick up the phone and call whoever it is that I need to call to get the information that I need to make the right decisions for my district. Also, I still have a great interest in public education, mental health. And one other one that we did not talk about today that I have an interest in is our senior citizens. I think that we need to find more funding to provide for our senior citizens so that they will be able to maybe stay at home longer to get the necessary needs that they need to be at home. Because it's difficult when you have a senior and you have to... they can no longer stay in their homes. It's very difficult on them, and I think we need to do more as a state to try to provide these things for our senior citizens. And you need to vote for Aiton Parks and send her back to Columbia, because I, over the years, you know, and people forget that I'm one person, one vote, but over the years I have developed some good relationships of people who are in the General Assembly that will help me do the things that I need to do for Greenwood, McCormick, and District 12.
Thank you very much, Aiton Parks. I certainly enjoy sitting down and talking to you, and, you know, you do have a lot to say. We just need to get it out of you sometimes, Aiton Parks. Thanks for coming on today.
You're welcome.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.